your friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 305. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So, look, I know I went on that rant there. Let me just say it because I'm replaying that call in my head because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to defend Aaron Boone. I'm talking about letting him go because I think he's done such a terrible job this year. But and right now he feels defeated. But it's not about the past. But I will say, you know, do great managers make – obviously I'm killing the manager for the decision last night. So would I expect – Alex Cora or Bruce Bochy to sit on his hands and watch Devin Williams in that moment? Probably not. Right? Probably not, because I'm killing him for doing that decision. So, no. I would not expect a good manager to make that move. Do managers make mistakes? Of course. They do. All of them do. And that one decision last night isn't the reason I'm saying this. Like, it's a byproduct. It's a part. It's a combination of what we saw in the interview, what we're seeing with the team, and then that decision last night. I don't think that decision alone would warrant letting the guy go or warrant calling him a terrible manager. But it's a boneheaded decision that I would suspect most managers would not make. And I don't know why he did. I know the reason was he didn't want to push Bednar to a five-out save. There is no save. The score is tied. I know, you know, five out, you know, game, like it's not, if you don't want him to go five, take him out in the next inning. The game was on the line in that moment. That moment needed someone better than Devin Williams. So I will apologize to Robbie and Phoenix for the idea that I dismissed that part of it because he started with the whole this proves it and stuff. Like, I don't want to get into the last 8 years because I don't think it's productive. I really don't. I think the conversation gets lost and muddled and about a million different things. And we'll talk about, you know, the minor league system and, you know, how Steinbrenner only cares about money and he's not his father and all the other talks that that generates from. When the fact of the matter is, we should be focused on the idea that this team is better than this. Whatever their faults, whatever we think of them, whatever Brian Cashman did or doesn't do, or whatever the minor league system teaches or doesn't teach, this team is better than this. The players are better than this. This team should be better than this. And right now, Aaron Boone isn't helping them get better. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Oh, as Meatloaf said, you took the words right out of my mouth. And as The Rock said, finally some recognition of what's been going on this year. Not the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Finally, we get recognition. Okay? The simple fact is, I didn't see the interview, but from what you described, he sounds defeated.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a plan. He doesn't have an answer. And when you don't have an answer, how are you going to help the team get out of where they are right now?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, I've been a big proponent of letting him go. But you know what? When you see somebody that doesn't have an answer for what's going on, then maybe it's time for another voice. Something. They got to shake it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they got to shake it up is the best argument. I don't know what new voice, you know, because they're not going to hire from outside the organization. Like, that's the one thing. Like, say Aaron Boone is fired. We wake up to the news tomorrow, or they lose the game tomorrow, and then they decide to fire him in the off day on Thursday, right? Let's say that happens. Like, they're not bringing in Buck Showalter, and I just use that as a convenient name because, you know, and around here he's a popular figure, and rightfully so. I like Buck Showalter. I think he's a very good manager. But, like, you know, we talk about him like he's never won an LCS game, not one. And we talk about him like he's far better than everybody, or he's far better than Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone's won how many more LCS games? And don't tell me that he never had a good team because he had teams that immediately won the World Series the second he left. So, like, I'm just saying, They're not going to hire someone. It's going to be Brad Ausmus. Is that real? Like, that's the only thing that really, like, makes me feel like, is it that big a deal? Like, is Brad Ausmus going to come in there and change things? And I do think there's a chance with how much they respect and love their manager that it could backfire. I do think there's a chance where, and you would say, well, how much worse could it get? I don't know. I still think this is a playoff team, as crazy as I am. I do. I think they'll turn it around. I think they'll probably be a playoff team. But right now, like last night and yesterday was a tough day for Aaron Boone. And I don't know if the Yankees are going to fire him. I know everyone's like, oh, they'll never fire him. They'll never fire him. I don't know. It's gotten really toxic. It's gotten really bad. It's gotten really bad. I mean, like voices who don't call for people's jobs. Bill Madden calling for people's jobs. Like, a lot of people think, I watched the post game. I didn't get this sense necessarily. Obviously, Jack Curry disagreed with certain things and talked about it, but like, and has been, you know, is critical when it's worthy and warranted. But a lot of people suspect that he was kind of, you know, down on Boone too. I don't know. But I'm just, sometimes you got to just shake things up. And I don't think the Yankees are like completely absent-minded of that. They did just give him a contract extension. He was in the World Series last year. I would guess he's probably safe the rest of the year. And I've been on the record. I said it last night that I think his history has earned him this season. And I felt like that up until yesterday, his interview, and then what happened last night. And again, I don't think they're doomed if he stays. I just don't know. Like, you might have to try something. I don't know. But it's just, right now it's gotten so toxic around him, around the team. It's every night they're finding new ways to lose. It's just not good with the Yankees right now. Logan in Long Island. What's up, Logan?
Yo, what's up, buddy?
What's up? Good. How are you, bud?
I'm great. I wanted to talk about...
Yeah, I can tell right away that you're interested in being silly. And normally, I might try and be silly with you and see what kind of silliness we can get into, but not in the silly mode right now. Maybe I will be. Maybe I'll get there. Try to call back later. Bill in Pittsburgh. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Chris. Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, I think, you know, my observation is listening to a lot of conversations about Boone and about managers. And I think two things strike me. And one is managers get kicked too much for the performance of the play. But in the same token, I hear too many people in your position. I'm not even accusing you of this.
I got you.
I've also given them too much credit when a team does well, because you just can't have it both ways.
Right.
You know, you can't. You know, especially when you've got a team that has a very robust payroll. You know, when you talk about going to a World Series or being in the playoffs, I mean, that's an expectation when you have one of the top two or three payrolls.
And yet it's not really met. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not met by those teams who have the payrolls all the time. Like, it's not like the Mets have had the highest payroll over the last 3 years. There's no World Series appearances. The Phillies have been in the top five. There's one World Series appearance in the last 17 years, 16 years. So, like, I mean, you could say whatever you want, and I'm not trying to give Boone credit necessarily, but when we detract, like you said, you can't have it both ways. You can't tell me he's a terrible manager this year. He's always been a terrible manager. Is it not about wins and losses? When you win a division and you get to a World Series, I'm not saying he took them there single-handedly, but I have a tough time saying the manager did a terrible job when they went to the World Series.
I agree with that. That's my original point. That was there's too much emphasis placed on. And the thing that I've always found curious is that there's really never been a metric or a measurement standard to really understand what the value of a manager is in terms of wins and losses to a team.
Yeah.
You know, that comes from insight, from, you know, do players play harder? I think money has changed all the need for managers to motivate players, because I don't care who you play for.
Yeah.
Till the very last day, if you pad your statistics, I just think at this point it's a wiser avenue for everybody to take to start to examine some of the fundamental flaws in this team, and there are. And you know, you're not going to be able to run four relief pitchers out there every night. I mean, starters aren't going past five innings.
Mm-hmm.
Wells is a shell of himself from what he thought he was going to be.
After a positive rookie season, he's struggling.
Right, and the other thing is, I don't know if you noticed, but they gutted all those catching prospects they had in the minor leagues. They had a bunch.
Yeah, they traded them away. Yeah,
they traded them all the way. So I think you've got a huge problem in left field defensively.
Yeah.
I don't think that Dominguez should ever bat against a left-handed pitcher. The same with Goldschmidt. I think mixing and matching this lineup now that they've got some different parts really needs to be part of the process moving forward. But I just would say that I think focusing on the foundational flaws that exist right now are far more important than trying to decide whether or not Boone should be fired at this point, because I'm not a fan of his.
Yeah, but I'm trying to win right now. I'm trying to win right now. I can't fundamentally change the functionality of the organization between now and the end of September. Like, I'm trying to get to the postseason and see what happens. Like, I understand your point. And again, I understand the point that Boone isn't the main problem and that it's an organizational thing. That's fine. I'm not trying to fix the Yankees at 3:15 in the morning. I'm not trying to fix the Yankees organization at 3:16 in the morning on August 6th. Was today the 6th? Like, honestly, you want to try and fix the organization? Fine. I'm trying to fix this team. Then we'll worry about the organization in the offseason. I want to get to the playoffs. And I know that shouldn't be the goal. Oh, how far the mighty have fallen. That we're getting to the playoffs is what we should be striving for. Bunch of snobs. I'm not trying to say, and that wasn't our last caller. That's just my voice of the comments that I hear. That's not the goal, but you got to start there to get to the goal. If they make it to the postseason and get beat twice in the wild card game or the wild card round, I'm going to be furious. Of course. But you can't even give yourself a chance unless you get there. I'm trying to get to the playoffs. Maybe they win those two wild card games, and then they win the ALDS, and then they're playing in an ALCS to get back to the World Series, and suddenly no one cares about any of this until they lose, and then we'll bring it up as if that's the reason they lost. But I'm trying to make this all irrelevant. Let's get to the postseason, see if they can get hot, because I do believe in the team. And then your point about the managerial, you know, how many wins a good manager, like, this is what I would say. Or at least if you want to try and find a algorithm to try and find how much a manager helps or hurts, the Baseball Reference has a Pythagorean theorem, which is pretty much the run differential. So they go through the run differential, and then they project what the record should be based on that run differential. How many runs you score versus how many runs you allow. And then they have a record based on that kind of, they have a math equation that tells you what your record should be. So right now, the Yankees, after last night's loss, are 60-54. The Baseball Reference page has their Pythagorean win-loss at 65-48. So based on the amount of runs they've scored and the amount of runs they've allowed, the Yankees should be five games better. I think that is a good, somewhat indication, because the difference between winning and losing those games are decisions but I've always kind of looked at that and said, all right, well, that's the production on the field, the black and white nature of it. How many runs they scored versus how many runs they gave up suggests that this should be their record. Any difference, I'll put on the manager. Now, is that an exact science? Of course not. But I've always kind of looked at that if you want to look at kind of the thing. So right now, under Aaron Boone, it's almost like war for a player, like wins above replacement. This is how many wins the average manager should get them. Or this is how many wins they should have doing what they're doing. And they're five games worse. So I think you can make an argument right now that Aaron Boone has cost them five games. Right? It's not an exact science. I don't know if I would even say that. But let's just, if you want to put a number on it, five games. Because if another manager, an average manager going, you know, I don't know, would win them five more games. Now, if you look at the track record of Aaron Boone, for the most part, they have exceeded their run differential. They have won more games. than they were supposed to just based on the X's and O's. So I'm sure not many people are going to like this theory of mine, because most of the time, not all the time, not every year of his career, but most of the time it indicates that Aaron Boone is actually winning them games. Again, I'm not here to tell you Aaron Boone's a great manager, right? I've been a Boone defender. I think he gets way too much flack. I think he gets blamed for everything, things that aren't his fault, things that are his fault. I think everything falls under, well, he's the manager. And sometimes that's fair, and sometimes it's not. That's all I've ever been. And I don't blame him for every mistake on the field. I just don't. No matter how many there are, I look at all of them individually and go, well, that's on the player. That's on him. There are some not covering second base, players throw into the wrong bag. There are some that is baseball fundamentals. And then there's just mistakes. And guys on the base path doing dumb things that I know for a fact the Yankees don't suggest. But that doesn't change the fact that right now, that's where I'm different, where I wasn't looking to fire him based on, base running gaffes. That's not what makes me want to fire a manager. I don't get hung up on that stuff. I don't look at Boone and look at, oh my God, he didn't know how many outs there are. Boone's got to go. That's not how I operate. That's not how I view baseball. That's not how I view a manager. Many of you are different. I'm not even saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's how I view it. I don't look at trying to advance on a ground ball hit in front of you, which, by the way, Texas and Bruce Bochy's team did last night. And, because of all the errors, Anthony Volpe was afraid to throw the baseball, but they had Peterson dead to rights as he was trying to advance to third base on a ball hit in front of him. But I know a Bruce Bochy team would never do that. And see, I can't help myself. I cannot help myself. But, I don't look at that and go, oh my God, the manager's got to get fired. This is too sloppy. This is too this. It's too that. I don't look at that. I look at wins and losses. Right now, with the amount of runs they've scored versus the amount of runs they've allowed, this team should be better. 5 games better. You know what 5 games better gets them? A game out of first place. As opposed to a half a game up in holding on to a playoff spot. This team should be 5 games better. This team should be better. I judge a manager on results. The results are that they're not winning. The results are nothing's changing. The results are he can't snap out of it. Last year there was a June swoon. They snapped out of it, went to the World Series. Not throwing parades for it. That's just a fact. Cup 2022, big swoon. Judge was the only hitter in the lineup doing anything. All of their trade acquisitions got hurt or were disastrous. They were losing the division. And Hicks is dropping balls in left field against Tampa Bay. It felt like Tampa Bay was going to win the division. The Yankees recovered, won 99 games, won the division, got to the ALCS. There's been the recovery along with the swoon. This doesn't feel like there's a recovery coming. And it sounds like he knows it. That's why I'm being a lot more critical about Aaron Boone right now and a lot more open to the idea of moving on from him and trying to shake up the team. That's why. John and Vernon, what's up, John?
How you doing? I wanted to call it, Boone and everything. I don't think that Boone's the problem, but I do think the problem might be that at this point the players like him and he can't say anything to them about, the style of playing they're doing, the amount of errors that have been going on this year, mm-hmm. and from last year in the World Series when Judge dropped that ball out in center field and Garrett Colden covered first base. Errors should not be going on like this. And it's the Yankees. I mean, that game a couple of weeks ago looked like they were throwing the game almost. And at this point, Willie Randolph, when he was the Mets, somebody mentioned that earlier, it's not that he's a bad manager, not anything, but if they're not responding and they're not going to play at this point, there's nothing he could do. And maybe somebody else has to come in and tell these guys to do it. And he's not the one to do it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying. They're not responding to him. They're not getting any better. And it's not just the mistakes aren't getting better. The team isn't getting better. They're finding ways to lose baseball games over and over again. And some of it is because of sloppy play. Totally agree. But that hasn't always been the case. We talk about the sloppy play has been the issue forever. It really hasn't been. They lost the World Series last year in part because of sloppy play. bad throw from Soto that couldn't be fielded by Torres. That leads to the tying run on a sacrifice fly. And then the fifth inning, obviously, again, I don't know if I call those fundamentals. Judge dropped a ball. I mean, it's not like he hasn't been trained, coached to catch the ball. I mean, he dropped the ball. And then Anthony Volpe, who doesn't have a good arm, made a bad throw. And then the $36 million man doesn't cover first base when I know they go over it because every B-roll footage of spring training shows me nothing but pitchers going over it. So, like, I don't even look at – I look at the fifth inning as embarrassing but I don't and brutal. But, like, do I think it's because the Yankees don't – like, do I think everything that happened in the fifth inning is because the Yankee organization doesn't focus on fundamentals? Really? Like, Aaron Judge dropping a ball, Anthony Volpe making the right play, just not making the right throw – and then the Cy Young Award-winning $36 million man doesn't cover first base, and it's like some deep-seated organizational failure? Like, I don't view it that way. I don't. I view it as the team that made critical mistakes in critical moments because maybe they're tight or for whatever reason. But right now, whether it is the mistakes, and that's definitely part of it, whether it's not being able to put a clean game together and not even just clean with mistakes, just a good overall, everybody does their job. We haven't seen in forever, and they've had a gut-punching loss, and since then they've just responded. They've looked like a lifeless team outside of, maybe some pitching here where you saw, Warren really battle through. Bobby in Sound Beach. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Chris. Hey. My word earlier, you said my word for the bases loaded nut, it would be egregious. I mean
it's hard to fathom he did not think.
That was just terrible.
I don't know how he did it.
I think it's a combination. What you're saying about not the fundament, not playing for him. I agree. I don't think they're going to do anything this year. I kind of wish they would, and I wish they almost would go from outside and get almost a whole new coaching staff.
Well, I think that's the only thing. Like, if you're going to fire Boone, I do think you should probably go, from without outside the organization. I just don't think they're going to do that.
No, but it is the kind of thing that might. You're right. It could lose the team, but also it really could. I think they love him. He hasn't lost the love. I think he's lost confidence. Just the confidence that he shows. And everybody, it's whether it's Travis Chapman, I don't know if it's infield play or it's third base sending people a nod or I don't know, would a new hitting coach kill that? They're hitting all right. They're hitting well.
Hitting's not the problem at all.
No, but they coach themselves. A new pat on the butt wouldn't, maybe it's a change. I don't think that.
They tried that 2 years ago with Sean Casey. He came in, he did nothing.
Yeah,
didn't make a damn bit of difference.
I just think the whole thing, if you just change one person, you keep everybody else and it's the same. That maybe, when Girardi went and Rob Thompson came in or I don't know. Every now and then, it usually doesn't work because the team's not that great that they replace a manager with. This is a really, really good team.
I agree.
It's this year. It's just, you're right, it's not about the other years.
But it's not.
It's a long stretch and he looks kind of lost. It wouldn't be,
new. I'm starting to get there. I'm with you, Bobby. I'm starting to get there. I am. And it's not because I think Boone's a terrible manager. I just think right now it's gotten so bad, and he just sounds like he doesn't have answers, and the team is just not responding to him where it makes sense. I don't subscribe to the idea he's been a brutal manager since the day he got here. I really don't. I don't. I thought he had game one of the World Series he goes to. And let me address that too, because I do think it's different, but I understand the point and I have to acknowledge it. Mark Leiter didn't come into the game last night because he hasn't pitched in a month with a broken knee. And the idea that Aaron Boone would use that as an excuse when in game one of the World Series he pitched Nestor Cortez in game one of the World Series after not pitching for 30 days. To the people who are out there saying it doesn't make any sense. Why would you got some nerve using that as an excuse? Well, if you wanted Leiter in the game, isn't that hypocritical on your part too? Like, you didn't want him to learn from that mistake. You killed him for doing it. You can't pitch someone who hasn't pitched in 30 days, but yet you wanted it last night. You wanted it because the other option failed. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And I do think it's different. Nestor Cortez, at least in my mind, while not pitching great that season necessarily, had built up some equity inside the organization and had done a pretty good job for them for a long period of time, as opposed to Devin Williams, who hasn't done jack squat for them. And two, he had excellent numbers against Shohei Ohtani and was brought in for that specific reason. He was on the playoff roster for that one specific reason to get out Shohei Ohtani. And he did. And he couldn't get out Freddie Freeman. And I'm not trying to justify that move or say it was the right move. Again, I like many of the moves that I argue with people, I do see the logic in it. I just didn't hate it. It sort of made sense to me. Tim Hill would have been a fine option too. I don't think there was a good option, honestly, with two runners on, one out against the top of that order. I didn't think the Yankees had a good option at that point. But like, if you're going to say, well, you were okay bringing Nestor Cortez in off of 30 days off in the World Series, but you won't do it in this game, I would say to you, are you asking him to make the same mistake twice then, if you deem the first one a mistake? And I would say, I do think it's a slightly different situation where, you know, you traded for Devin Williams and, you know, he's a legitimate option there. Like, I don't know. I don't view it the same. Off a broken knee, you want to throw him into that spot? I'm okay with it at some level. I mean, I wouldn't have hated it necessarily. But again, you're not Devin Williams. The same thing happened last year, by the way, with Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes lost his starter role, and if you remember, they continued to throw him in high leverage situations. He even blew another game. After being out of the closer's role, he blew a save in the eighth inning like three appearances later. And they were still throwing him into high leverage situations. And guess what? It worked. Because then he got into the postseason and threw nine scoreless innings to start his postseason. And was getting some of the biggest outs in the middle of the game. If the Yankees want to win the World Series, and we talk about like that's the only thing that matters, they're going to need Devin Williams to be a part of it. He doesn't have to pitch the ninth. He doesn't even have to pitch the eighth. But Devin Williams is going to have to be able to get outs if they want to win the World Series. And to me, he had like 5 days off. Then he pitched yesterday. He didn't get hit around the building. He gave up a home run that you can't give up. Totally agree. I yelled about it yesterday. But to get him right back on the horse in a situation where you don't have a lot of options, and I know you could say anybody else, I get it. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just understand that on some level. I don't hate going to him in that spot. I don't. I don't hate going to him. I don't think it's egregious. I don't think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I don't think it's a fireable offense. Leaving him in, now that I feel differently about. Leaving him in is asinine. Leaving him in is hard to explain. Let's go to Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. What's up? How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. The Mets, their rotation is leaking. Like last year, by the time they got to the playoffs, they're all tired out. Seems we're headed that way again. They got all these young pitchers dominating in the minors, especially Tong, who's doing his best Gooden impression. And he dominated last night also. So, you know, are they going to wake up and get these guys over here, or are we going to?
McLean and Sproat have pitched very well in AAA as of late. Sproat got off to a little bit of a slower start this year, and thank you for the call. But now he's hot, and McLean's been having a great year all year, and Tong is having a great year. But AA, it's not that you can't bring him up necessarily, but the other guys are a little bit further along and more polished. But yeah, I mean, it's at the point. That's not the craziest thing I've ever heard. At least one of them to get rid of Montas. And honestly, if you're going to keep such a tight rope on Clay Holmes, it's not the worst thing in the world to add him to the back end of the bullpen and see if you can get another starting pitcher. Now, I don't know. His pitching hasn't warranted him losing his rotation piece. Like, I don't think Clay Holmes has been so bad that it's like, oh, you got to get him out of there. But they're kind of massaging these innings. They're massaging the pitching, the pitches. They're trying to ease him through the end of the season with this new, you know, with the idea that he hasn't thrown this many innings before in his career. It's not crazy if you believe in both of these kids to call them up and start with Montas and Clay Holmes back in the bullpen and see what happens from there. It's not the craziest thing, but again, like, it's about the offense. It's about the offense. Clay Holmes gave you a performance yesterday where you could win the game. The bullpen came in and did a good enough job where if they scored some runs, you could win the game. They scored two runs. They scored it in the first. They scored one in the first, one in the second, and then did nothing. Did absolutely nothing. They turned a really nice double play where they led him perfectly. The toss to the shortstop was perfectly done. And they get Lindor for the double play, and that was like the end of the offensive attack. That's the problem. You could try and figure out the rotation all you want. I'm not saying it's not an issue. But when I look at this team, I look at how the hell are they going to score some runs? When are they going to start hitting with runners in scoring position? And I hear Sal with Juan Soto. Well, yeah, I understand, but he'll come through in the postseason. I know he's been good in the postseason, and I don't even necessarily doubt that. But what other situation is this town? Do we say things like that? Like, who else do we go? It's all right. Don't worry about it. As long as he'll be there in the postseason. Like maybe Stanton, but even Stanton, we understand that he's got to have a run up to it and be having regular at bats and show you something. But like Juan Soto, he's hitting 200 under. He's hitting under 200 runs in the scoring position, but he'll do it in the postseason. I don't know what's the difference between this and the postseason. 888-808-1019. But it's got to change. I know that. And maybe we'll come up with an idea. Fleegs gave me an idea. It's one that Evans had too. Could you change the lineup up? Is there something you can do to kind of spark this offense? Could they fire someone? There's been a lot of talk about firing Eric Chavez. Would that be something to kind of shake up the team? A caller just mentioned the Yankees losing the hitting coach, and Chavez has kind of been on the hot seat earlier in the year. Is that something that you could try and fire and see if you could spark a team inside this Mets offense? Since we're talking about firing all the Yankee coaches, let's throw it out there. Fire some Mets guys too. Fire people. Let's go. Let's all run it like George Steinbrenner. We're dying to, right? Let's all just run both these operations just like George. Everybody shows up to work terrified if they'll be released that day. Let's do it. I'm in.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this miserable, disgusting Wednesday morning. I'm not sure I'll ever sing again. I'm not sure the Yankees or Mets will ever win again. I'm not going to do it, Fall Out Boy. Not going to sing, man. I know you're trying to get me to do it, but I won't. I can't believe that Jerry actually pulled that audio of me singing that day. I haven't even in the studio with Craig. And he mentioned the great line I had too, by the way. When they asked me to go on tour with them, he's like, would you want to go on tour? I'm like, no, I'd rather stay here and be put in awkward spots with you than go on tour with Fall Out Boy. But I'm sidetracking here because I'm tired of talking about how miserable the Yankees are. Oh my God, how bad are these two teams right now? How did the Mets, like, and think about where they were. And not even just back when, you know, they were in first place, both of them. And, you know, we all had hopes of a Subway Series. Think about where they were a week ago. Like, the Yankees were in trouble and the Mets hadn't played well for a while. But the Mets were coming off a seven-game win streak. Seven-game winning streak. They swept the San Francisco 49ers. I wish we were talking football. They sweep the Giants just before the Giants' annual meeting with the New York Giants. They head to San Diego. And think about where they were off of that seven-game win streak and how good they were feeling, how well the team was playing. Then you get to the trade deadline. Right, and even with some losses, the Mets shock everyone. They get two literally, legitimately top of the, you know, back end of the bullpen arms in Rodgers and Helsley. Like, everything is going their way. And now they have lost 7 of 8 and have completely wiped away the winning streak? And then for the New York Yankees, same thing. Like, again, the Tampa Bay Rays sold and they had given up, and you know, but they lose the first game of that Tampa Bay series, and you figure, here we go. And instead, they respond. They win three straight, and again, Tampa Bay's not great, but it's in division, which they haven't beat anybody inside the division all year. They win three straight games inside the division, including a crazy, wacky, wild game where Devin Williams blew the lead. They fought back with a walk-off win in extra innings. Three in a row, and then they add at the deadline and bring in three relievers, one of them who Bird was already sent down, which, by the way, I vaguely remember hearing talk that he was a candidate to be sent down as soon as guys came back healthy, as soon as Cruz and Leiter came back healthy anyway because of his struggles. And the idea, look, he's here for 3.5 years. I'm not in the mood to defend anyone right now from the Yankees, but, you know, like, Bird's here for another 3 years after this. They traded for a reliever there hoping they can fix, and he's got really good stuff even in his struggles. And there was talk about, even before he threw a pitch, at the idea that he could be one of the guys on the bubble for being sent down when Leiter and Cruz come back. So, and then September 1st, you might see him called back. So you want to call that trade a failure? Fine, I don't really care. It's a failure, right? Let's say Rock Riggio, whatever his name is, hit some home runs. If he becomes a good player, then yeah, it was a disaster. I don't really look at yesterday being sent down and make declarative statements on the trade. But the trade deadline overall, and I'll still stand by this, was really good for the Yankees. They went three in a row. They got the trade deadline. They got two legitimate back end of the bullpen arms in Bednar and Duvall. They added McMahon. They did the team is set. They fixed a lot of their holes. They could have used a starting pitcher, no doubt, but still a lot of optimism. Three games in a row. Going to Miami, a team that's, you know, on the rise and better than we would have all suspected, but still Miami. Then they're up 6-0. 6-0, looking at four straight wins with Rodon throwing a no-hitter through four innings. Through four innings of the game, they're up 6-0, and Rodon's throwing a no-hitter. They're looking to win their fourth consecutive game. They've just, you know, added at the deadline, and it's like, all right, here comes the run. No Judge, still winning. This is great. And then that Friday night, that changed the season. We joked a lot, you know, John Boy started it, to be fair, but a lot of us all joked that the Bellinger catch against the Mets and then the subsequent five-game winning streak, that catch saved the season. Well, I don't think there's any doubt. This season, as much as it was already, you know, a really unsuccessful June and July, no doubt, but that Friday night loss in Miami completely changed the direction of this season. It was about to be four in a row. It was about to be four in a row, and they had just had a great deadline. And then it fell apart that night. And now since then, I feel like the managers lost the team a little bit. Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's going on, Big Daddy C, Matt?
What's up, brother? How are we doing?
Chilling. So, yeah, I'm going to be Mr. Brightside. Let me go at it. You call yourself a Yankee shill. I'm a rider to the death, right? Because I remember the years, the Yankee years, and I'm going to bring some of the years up in the past, even though watching this team since June 13th has been a complete insult to all of our intelligence, including previous seasons that Boone has been managing with the boneheadedness of players on the base pads, on the field, and stuff. But yeah, hear me out. So if you, I look at this team very similar to the 04, we know how that ended. Not saying that's going to happen again in the 2012 year. Because in 04, we pretty much started all the way up until mid-May under 500 and then tore it up,
right,
slowed down towards the end, and then you know what happened, right? So that was like all panic signs flying off early. And in 2012, we started fairly decent, above average, hit a skid a little bit in June and July. Well, it was almost like teetering between 10 games above 500 to 5 games above 500. There was no real consistency,
okay,
to be dominant.
Right, but what are you trying to connect them to, though? All right, so they have similar, like, up and down roller
coaster season.
What I'm
trying to say is the talent is there, and the level of focus isn't seem to be there, because the thing about this team is with losing Soto mentally and emotionally, remember, these players are human. They're not robots. They have thoughts, feelings, emotions,
yeah,
desires, hopes, and dreams, and all these things. And they right. feel the pressure to compete in a city where there seem to be second fiddle in their own head a little bit, but they expect to be the best because mm-hmm. that's how the Yankees always been. So, and with all the little stupid mistakes to the big mistakes to all that's happening, I don't, and the new trades, the players come in trying to adjust, change their life, all this stuff. There seems to be a little bit of not enough synchronicity with the way they're, like the sports psychology would say, like, you know, you have to fake it till you make it, but if you've made it and you have to do it again, do you have the want to, the desire to still be the baddest? Do you have the hunger? And you can almost hear it, and Boone is just going chum to us to make us angry, but he's saying how the players have to look at it at as a sports psychologist, say, do you have the hunger, the fire? We have to go and take it. So he's trying to explain to the to us, the fans, like, how the players have to look at it and they have to apply themselves to do it because that's the modern ball play.
Okay. But what's your point, though? Like, you're saying a lot, and I understand what you're saying, but, like, what's your point? What are you trying to say? The manager is not doing – okay, what's the reason they haven't done it?
The reason why we haven't done it has nothing to do with Cashman or Boone or necessarily how. We spent the $300 million. Boone is only following the analytics that has, seems to be driving every successful team out there, and Cashman has brought in
reinforcement. All right, so what is the reason?
It's up to the players.
Yeah, all right. I don't disagree with you on a fundamental level. Yeah, it is up to the players. They got to be better. I agree. But I can't get rid of all the players. I can't fire all the players. And again, I'm not, you know, I don't even know if he should be fired, but I'm open to it. I'm open to it because it's been that bad. It's been that bad. And he has pulled out of it before. Like, he has. They've been like this, and then they've still gone on a run and got back into it. But this is... And is it on the players? Of course it's on the players. But he's got to get them in a... Like, it's up to him to get them in the right mentality. And it's felt like since that Friday night loss, he's kind of lost them. And it might not even be his fault necessarily, completely. But it feels like he's lost them, and it feels like he knows it. And it feels like last night he didn't know what to do. Like the inability, like, I know he said there was a plan. It felt like, I don't know who I should, I can't imagine not acting. Whoever you got to go get, just go get someone. It can't be Devin Williams in that spot. So, like, you couple that with the somber facial expressions he's making in John Boy, the answers he gives in John Boy, the way the team has responded to that Friday night, like, it's worth a discussion to see if it can spark the team. Now, I don't know if they'll do it, but if they lose this game today, this is, and we haven't really focused on this yet, but you want to talk about a Carlos Rodon big game spot. Right here. This is a Carlos Rodon big game spot. We are going to find out about Carlos Rodon because he's coming off a start where he had everything going right. He's throwing a no-hitter, and then he completely unravels in that game Friday night. He started Friday. He has to end this slide that's happened since Friday. Carlos Rodon, this is the biggest start, regular season start of Carlos Rodon's Yankee career. I really feel that way. This is the biggest regular season start of Carlos Rodon's Yankee career later today. James in Long Beach. What's up, James?
Hey, C-Mac, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Annoyed. Very, very annoyed with this team. Like you, I think this is probably the most talented team they've had in, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years.
Maybe not 19. Let's just leave it like this. It's far more talented than it's playing right now. It is far more talented.
Agreed. And I truly think if they lose today, I think Boone's going to get fired Thursday. If you would have told me that a week ago, I thought you would have said I was insane. But bringing Devin Williams in tonight was egregious, to bring him into that game in the eighth inning. He's let up 8 runs in his last 7 2/3. How are you bringing into the game as your last night?
Yeah.
And then, well, even
Can I push back on that for a second, although I'm not inclined to, because I understand your point. The seven runs are a little misleading because he's only blown the two saves, obviously, the most recent two. Prior to that, he came in with like big leads, and one guy would get on, and then it was like defensive indifference, lets them steal second, and then like a little blue pit. Like, he gets the saves, he gives up the runs. I get it. I think the ERA in the last little bit is a bit overblown because of the nature of the games he was pitching in. But there's no doubt, off of the last two starts were home runs, blown saves. The last two appearances.
The last two, exactly. He let up a home run last night to a guy with an OPS of like 430.
Yes.
And then he did it last week against Tampa Bay.
Yes.
How do you give him the run for this? Why is the loyalty to him?
It's not loyalty.
After the walk to Jock, how is he still in the game?
Third
batter.
Now we're talking.
First and second, get him out of the game.
Now I agree with you. I don't mind going to him just because, again, am I going to Mark Leiter for his first appearance? Am I going to Bednar? In which case, like, who's then pitching the ninth?
De Los Santos is, I mean, I'm not saying
you want to see De Los Santos in there? I guess. I mean,
he's been good. He's let up one earned run.
He's just back from the minor leagues. I understand that. But I mean, Devin, you know, they rely on Devin Williams to a level. Like, I don't have a problem. And then plus,
they should stop. He has a 5.5 ERA. They need to stop. And
we said the same thing about Clay. We said the same thing about Clay Holmes last year. They kept throwing him out there.
Back up.
What?
They built him back up.
Clay Holmes was thrown right back into tough situations at the end of the year after losing his closer job. Right back into tough situations. I don't disagree. I just don't think it's as egregious. You want to say he shouldn't have went to him? I'm not going to argue with you. You shouldn't have went to him. That's fine. I just don't think it's as, I don't think it's egregious. I don't think it's a, oh my God, why doesn't he go to De Los Santos, who wasn't on the team? Like, why doesn't he go to Al Leiter? Why doesn't he go to Mark Leiter Jr. with a broken kneecap and hasn't been pitching for a month? Like, they did trade for this dude. He's got to go out there and get some outs. And they got to score some runs so that every inning isn't the most important inning of the game. But it's, whether I think it's an egregious move to even put him in the game or not, it is certainly an egregious move to keep him in. There's no debating it. That, I don't know how you could argue that. They can't allow him to continue. He walks Peterson. That's the three batter minimum. Thank you for the out. As Jack Curry said in the post game, that's exactly what I would have done. I'd be like, all right, he got us one out. I'm going to Bednar. I can't do this. The minute he walks Peterson, I'm taking him out of the game. The idea that he allowed him to face Langford and then allowed him to face Tellez with the bases loaded after walking Langford is malpractice. That's how bad it is. That's how bad a decision it is. And I understand if you think he shouldn't even been in the game, I get it. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't think it's as egregious. It's an interesting decision to let him back into the game in the eighth. I don't hate it because I don't think there are far better options. If your point is I don't care what the options are, I understand. But once he allows the double and a walk, especially in the manner of the double where it's like off the glove and it's just, you could tell, like, man, that's just something. That ball's got to be caught. Now it's not. Now this is a thing. Get him the hell out of there. And Boone made a horrendous decision to let him pitch to Tellez. Just a horrendous decision.